Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison, your host here with the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. Hello, hello. We are with you in two or three forms today. We're on BT 1110, 99.3 FM, radio.com. And don't forget to check us out on the YouTube channel. You can see our smiling faces and every scratch of the ear, every pull of the beard, and every tweak. We're out here, and we're excited to spend time with you. Happy Saturday. Happy Saturday afternoon. We hope where you are safe, smiling, and happy, and looking forward to a great show with a bunch of information. And it is packed today. I'm telling you, it's packed today. In the first segment today, I've got Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
Good to have you with me. I'm going to have Sandy do our mortgage update in a minute, and you will not hear him until segment two, but unless you're watching it on Zoom or on our YouTube channel, Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm is here, and we're going to talk a lot about investment property today and a lot about what goes on with investment property. Looking forward to that with you, Josh. All right, so he's smiling because no one can hear him. So he's waving. So he says yes. Okay. So excited. Technology, and it's fun stuff that goes along with it. All right. So, you know, I love, and I'm going to spend some time today talking about our local stats. And I want to give Sandy time to give a quick rate update and some good news happening in our market. But I always start with what I learned this week. Let me just tell you, words matter. Words matter. So, knowing that we most of the time believe that, pick up the phone. Words matter, but what matters more is how you express them, right? It's one thing to express your price is just too low, and it's another thing to go, your price is too low. And so when you're reading it, you're not really sure. Do you think I've heard that before? All right, so also say thank you, even if it's in writing. Thank you is a powerful tool that can save a real estate transaction in a heartbeat. You know why?
Why?
Everybody's working hard. Everybody's working hard. Thank you, Sandy, for answering that question for me. I was waiting for somebody out there in oblivion to go, why? And you did. Thank you. Nationally, though, let me just tell you, you don't think COVID-19 has had an effect on our country? And then by the time I tell you what's left here and I give you some statistics, you're going to be glad you're living in Charlotte. Nationally, listings are down 44% from last April. You heard me. 44% listings down since last April. Our market is down, and we're going to share those stats later, about 25, The biggest drop in inventory nationally since 2015 in the first overall quarter. January and February, demand was up 27%. So, let me just equate this for you. Demand equals buyer. Listings equal houses for sale. So, the buyers really didn't go. The listings, they left the building. Listings right now are at a premium. And when I share the Charlotte local stats with you later on in the show, you're not going to believe it. So, if you're thinking about selling, you are the Mac Daddy right now. You're not going to get these giant prices, but you're going to sell. So, Sandy, for those buyers out there, what can you do for them?
Well, we can do a lot for them. We have constant communication, so we do pick up the phone. So you never feel like you're in a black hole out there and you don't know what's going on.
You were listening to me.
I was, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Half of what we do is we listen. So we'll close on time. That's super important, especially for the sellers, because they have to move on and do what they need to do. Rate-wise, we're going to be right in there. So rates right now, you wanted a rate update. Looks like low threes right now, mid to low threes, depending on, you know, your credit score, depending on your loan program, your scenario. It's looking good. It's a tiny bit higher than it was last week, and the reason for that is because supply is very, very high on the 10-year bond. So where they're talking about more stimulus on Friday, and if that happens and they buy more bonds up, then the rates will drop back down. But there's just a ton of supply right now. So two out of the three transactions right now are refis. So the other third is purchases, which is good. The purchase market's not dead. We know that.
Right.
But we do need more inventory, obviously.
Oh, you're not gonna believe it.
We'll probably see them drop back down. Even, you know, I don't know that they're going to be in the mid twos, but we're going to see slight fluctuations over month over month, and week over week, and sometimes day over day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what's happening. Jumbo market and Alt-A market is trying to come back. I'm getting emails daily, but I haven't seen anything super strong yet. But they're, you know, we're all rearranging and finagling, so we're trying to get the products that we need to help everybody.
Right. And so right now, Sandy, your feeling is that we could see some additional lowering of the rates over the next two or three weeks with a couple of characteristics like stimulus and other things which could push the treasury market, you know, to a better place.
The 10-year bond went well, but there was a bond auction that went well, so that's good. Markets way down, like stock market, NASDAQ, S&P, and the bond yield has come down, which I always like, because that means my rates will probably be pretty decent today.
Yeah.
So unemployment, or I guess earnings really looked like they went up, but it's a false positive because the people that were making less than 40,000, 40% of them are now out of work. It's not counting in there. So it's a false, hey, it looks like earnings are up, but people really aren't making more money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's sure is different. So if you're thinking about refining, if you're thinking about purchasing, as a matter of fact, I was on the phone today. A gentleman gave out your number that is looking even to buy a piece of property in the Lake Lure area. How do they get in touch with you, Sandy? And what's the best way to start the process?
My number, my mobile is 704-577-0144. We have a mobile app. We have an online app. We have easy uploads, email. Like, we'll take it any way you want to give it to us.
Right. It depends on how your style is, right, Sandy? It works out great either way. Yeah, she knows I'm not much good at the mobile app thing. So whenever I do anything.
Yeah, so I'll take it over the phone.
Yeah, she basically says, all right, what is this? What is this? What is this? Sign. And it works. It works out well. Well, thank you, Sandy. Good update, and appreciate your help, and always glad to have you. 577-0144 if you're ready to mortgage your home or refi, or buy a home and get a mortgage or refi. Either any one of those three, however you want to do it, you can do it. Thank you, Sandy.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Good to have you with us. All right, we're coming up to the break. We're going to pick up with Josh Lippick. He's going to talk a little bit about how his community gets involved around the legal traps that you could do by working directly with a seller. I tell you, I'm really interested in this, Josh, because a lot of these things I have done, and the Costner Law Firm has been a partner with me along the way. They have filled every void and walked me through every step. So I'm excited about doing that with him today. All right, so if you're just tuning in, you've just popped onto the show Your Real Estate Today, and I'm Paul Jamison, your host, and we're talking about investment property. We're going to talk about some local stats. We've got a lot in store. Stay with us on News Talk 1110, 99.3, radio.com, and YouTube. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison here with the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. Hello, hello. All right, so I'm here with Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm. I am so glad that you're with us here today, Josh, because we talk a lot on the show about buyers and sellers and the market and statistics, and we're going to share our local April statistics in the next segment. But we also have a very, very strong investor market, friend. And one of the things that I've always relied on you and the Costner Law Firm to do is to make sure my clients and myself, because there's a wide variety of ways that you can invest in real estate. Protect yourself.
Yeah.
You know, protect yourself. You're getting a lot of inquiries, you said.
One of the strongest upticks, I guess, that I've seen during all of this is that we're seeing a lot more interest from the investor market, not just from people here, but from all over the country and maybe from all over the world.
Yeah.
Look at the market since it's, I believe, second right under Austin, Texas, and, you know, still holding strong through all of this. So we're seeing a lot of investors, you know, with their eye on this market and, you know, especially with the rates being so low. There's a lot of people flocking here, and there's a lot of different ways that they're looking at setting up their business when they do move into this market, other than, you know, just a typical straightforward going with a institutional lender purchase, you know, with no complications. But obviously there's risks even in standard situations, but, you know, with structuring it differently, you can run into different risks that you may not have otherwise considered.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of things, you know, the risk due on sale clauses and, you know, forbearances and title insurance issues that could come up and, you know, mortgages getting paid off. And I mean, on and on and on. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, regardless of the structure or the way that you choose to invest, I think probably the key takeaways for any of these is going to be transparency. The more forthcoming you are with everything that's going on and how it's being done, probably the better you are protected. You know, it's better for everyone else involved. And then also title insurance is going to be a big deal. Some of these are going to have, you know, trickier situations as far as being able to obtain that. And before I even move into any of those, you know, I wanted to point out that even if you're a cash buyer, you know, title insurance is optional. But really, you know, you're always going to want to have that policy put in place. It's a one-time payment that covers you for as long as you own the property. And, you know, I'm dealing with a situation right now where a cash buyer chose not to get a title policy. And it turns out when they did the closing 3 years ago, not all of the heirs from the estate signed the deed that needed to have, and one of them has since died and trying to locate their heirs and their estates, which haven't been probated, and some of them being minors. I mean, it can be a real mess, you know, and that small, you know, prospectively small cost can go a long way in protecting people when they're making those investments.
Yeah, you know, Josh, it happened, as a matter of fact, prior to the time when I started working with Costner, we did a closing for one of my investors and a $65,000 line of credit was missed in the title search. And my client, they called it, you know, on the property. And we had title insurance. And I remember at the time, because he paid cash, he asked me, do I really need to do this? And I'm like, yeah, you do. So that was one of the 65,000 I told you so's that saved him from having to deal with that. Because it was missed. And it was human error. It was missed. And, you know, there it is.
Yeah, and that can happen too. And you know, like with the case that I just gave, sometimes it's not even a matter of human error on the investor's part or even the closing attorney's part, but sometimes things just aren't, you know, you could have a mechanics lien pop up. I mean, there's all sorts of things that could happen. That's even right. If everyone does their best due diligence.
That's exactly right. You're trying to go back in a time in history and capture a lot of details.
And doing it after the fact is always going to be much harder.
Right. That's very true. Well, one of the things that I was really excited about you sharing about today. So when I saw this, I got really interested and excited because it is a part of the world that we're seeing more and more of today. Wholesale contracts, assignment contracts, and option contracts. Could you share with our clients a little bit about each one of those and your thoughts on them and why it's so critical to have somebody on your side involved in those?
Yeah. So theoretically, in these situations, there isn't anything wrong with investing in this way, but there are a few risks that aren't maybe going to be present in more traditional style closings. Because what you're doing here is it's a quick flip, almost like where you've identified a property for someone and you're getting a finder's fee by doing a quick double close. You know, you're buying it for a little less and then selling it almost immediately, if not immediately, to someone else through that assignment or through that option. And really, you know, the biggest thing that people should consider here is that everyone involved should know what's going on. You know, the original owner is going to know not just what the purchase price for their sale is, but the subsequent purchase price to the assignee or the person with the option. So they're, you know, people just need to be aware that they're not going to be able to conceal those facts, or that if they tried to, it might get them in some hot water.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're seeing a lot of wholesalers out there that are securing listings and then looking to just quickly flip over their contracts. And I think you said it, and I think it's going to be the theme of it's the theme of a lot of things in life, right? Transparency. Mm-hmm. And making sure you can call transparency disclosure. You can call it whatever you want to call it, right? Making sure that person that's selling really understands what you're doing before they sign that contract.
Yeah, and it sounds, you know, like it's to the benefit of the original seller, and it is to some extent so that they can be aware of what's going on, but really, you know, it's really to protect you, to know that everyone's aware of what's going on and that there aren't going to be any kind of conflicts that pop up afterwards if they find out that it didn't really go down the way that they expected it to. And then another risk to consider with these is that if you're investing in this way, you don't want to be engaging in activities that would be considered that of a broker if you're not licensed. And just because of some of the additional risks here, you're really going to be better off working with an agent who can walk you through this and help you with the liability aspects of it as well.
Yeah. You know, I think it's important that real estate agents, attorneys, and others, I always use the expression, know your lane. I know where mine lane stops and yours begins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I may say, hey, I've been across this situation. Call Josh. Call Costner. You know, yes, I had a good night's sleep last night, but I do not have a J degree. I am a realtor. And there are things that I know and understand and know where my lane is. You have to know your lane.
Sometimes I think for some people, because even though we all have our own lanes and our own backgrounds as far as what we've been educated in, you work in real estate long enough, you kind of become familiar with how to drive in those other lanes.
Right.
It doesn't mean you should merge over, though, particularly if you're talking about, you know, like adding additional language to a contract, then you might be practicing or the unauthorized practice of law. And, you know, that's something that we would do. But then likewise, we shouldn't be negotiating terms prior to signing the contract either.
You bring up a good point. And at the next time we get on, I think in the next couple segments, I want to make sure we talk about also adding to this, making sure you don't write language into your contracts and what that means, Josh. So let's pick that up when we get back together. The show, Your Real Estate Today, Paul Jamison here with Jamison Realty and Jamison Family of Companies. Also, Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm here on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT and radio.com. Stay with us. Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison, your host here. Happy Saturday. Hope you're having a great time. I'm with the Jamison Family of Companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. That is a great opportunity for you if you're interested in investing in real estate or buying and selling. We would love to chat with you. We've got a great team. Here with Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm. Hey, Josh, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, we are here talking about our market and investments, but as promised, let me tell you what's going on in our marketplace. Hang on to your seat. All right, you heard me say in the first segment that nationally, listings are down 44%, but in January or February, the buying market was up 27%. Demand was up from the previous year 27%. Last year was a good year. Think about adding another quarter to that. And then COVID-19. But if the nation is down 44%, we're living in a pretty good place because right now new listings are only down 26.6%. That's pretty darn good because we've only got 1.8 months of inventory. Right now, think about this. If no new houses came on the market in less than 2 months, they'd all sell. That's insane. If you're thinking about selling, I mean, again, you're only going to get a certain value. You're not going to be able to retire. Pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. But you're going to get a fair price for your house and a lot of buyers because those buyers that were sitting on the fence, 26% of them up over the year before, are still needing to buy. So they're out there looking. Pending sales are down in April to April, 17.6%. Closed sales down just over 20%. Days on market, obviously, are down. Listen to this. Days on market are down, even though we couldn't even show a house in Mecklenburg County. Days on market are down. Get this, from 47 days to 38 days. So irregardless of our city manager, we were still able to get stuff done. Cumulative days on market, down from 57 to 46. All right, average list price. Only down 4%. That means the houses that we're selling. Average sales price, people, up 7.1%. Oy, 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 oy. Median sales price up 8%. Percentage of list price to price received up just under 1%. inventory down 25%, month supply down 28%. It went from 2.5 months to 1.8 months. Man, that means people want to live here. They don't have a selection of houses. And as Sandy said in the first segment, money's cheap. Holy guacamole. What an awesome time to be living in this area. If you're one of those that go, oh, I'm just going to wait until next March. Okay. But if you're ready to move, you're going to get a fair price for your home right now because there's a lot of people that need to be here. And we'd love to help you do that. If you're an investor, remember, it's about the numbers. It doesn't matter what you pay. It matters the numbers. Well, yeah, it does matter what you pay. What I'm saying is, in an up market, in a down market, it's about the numbers. Where do the numbers fall? Where does the return fall? What are your objectives? You know, I do not work with flippers. That is not my sweet spot. That is not the philosophy. I know my lane. You guys heard me earlier. I know my lane. I work with people that want to hear and want me to share my knowledge and experience with those that believe that in real estate is a part of building wealth, whether you're a buyer, a seller, or an investor. It is a wealth-building mechanism. And it has the option of triple dip. I shared this with a guy today. You go to your mailbox, there's money in it. You have something that you can depreciate. It will never be worth nothing on your taxes. And it appreciates. And I call it the quad. The last is, you got control over it. It is something you can touch, feel, and do something with. It is not an ambiguous thing held in New York somewhere in an exchange. It is something you can touch, feel, and manipulate. And you can add value and you can detract value from it. You can make the choice. You decide not to fix the roof, the value is going to go down. You decide to fix the roof, the value is going to go up. Okay? So, there you go. All right. Okay. So, Josh, I want to pick up where we left off. We talked about increased inquiries for investors. We talked about different risks that could be involved. We talked about wholesale assignments and option contracts and the transparency needed around those. We're adding. Let's talk about making changes to the contract.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we were talking about during the break, as you noted, with the standard contract form that's available, realtors are able to, fill those in as applicable as far as what's provided there to be completed. And buyers and sellers themselves are allowed to add anything that they want in their negotiations, whether or not that's going to be legally enforceable should they hit a point where they would need to have that litigated, I don't know. But typically anything that's not got like a obvious spot for it to just be filled in or checked off in the contract, anything that's going to be added in a custom format, that's something that you're going to want to have an attorney draft or approve at least, mm-hmm. Since otherwise it would be considered be an unauthorized practice of law.
Yeah. Yeah. We do not do that. If I need us, there have been instances where, for example, let's just say that there was a recent addendum that I asked the Costner Law Firm to put forth for me. Basically, we were concerned about the price that we were paying for a piece of property and the amount of due diligence we had at risk, due diligence meaning the non-refundable deposit. And we said, okay, we're willing to pay this price, but if it doesn't appraise, if the bank's appraiser comes in and says, the house that's under contract for $200,000 is only worth $180,000, and you're not willing to go to $180,000, we don't want to lose that due diligence money. Because you're saying Mr. Seller. I stand behind this price, period. And my money's the money at risk, right? So I came to Tara and to the other attorneys at Costner and said, I need something that says if this doesn't appraise and we don't come to terms, we get our due diligence money back. And you guys did that. You care to elaborate?
Well, that was the exact example that I was going to use, actually.
Oh, because, sorry, man.
No, you're good. It's one of the most common ones that I get requests for, and I actually added similar language to my own contract when I bought my first condo 4 years ago. It was a little different in that it was less about the due diligence money and more about wanting to hold the deal together should the appraisal become an issue. And I drafted language basically to the effect that if the appraisal came back more than $2,000 plus or minus the purchase price, that buyer and seller would agree to adjust the purchase price to within $2,000 of the appraised value up to a certain amount of money so that you're not jumping, you know, too far in one direction or the other.
Yeah, because where it really comes into play, Josh, is a lot of these contracts for, say, $200,000 and they want $6,000 in closing cost. You know, that's a big spread between your purchase price and using those closing costs. So if it appraises for $195,000, you know, it really, in essence, what the seller's getting, $194,000. Because if you subtract that, that's really what they're going home with. So after the break, we're going to talk more with Josh about home hold harmless, seller financing, and then is it really worth it to go directly without using a realtor and an attorney. So we'll be right back to Show Your Real Estate Today. I'm with Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm. I'm Paul Jamison. Stay with us, and we've got more to share. Welcome back to the country western version of the Show Your Real Estate Today. That's compliments of my producer, TJ. We're going to just kind of square dance our way through the rest of the show. I'm here with Josh Lippick with the Costner Law Firm. Thank you for spending your Saturday with us. I own the I just got all choked up. The Jamison family of companies, thank you for being with us. Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. We've been talking with Josh about contracts and writing things in contracts, adding things to contracts and attachments. And as much as we would love to have gone through law school, we haven't. And so we shouldn't. So does that about summarize that segment?
Yeah, don't do it.
All right. So hold harmless waivers. What are your thoughts there?
So I have these in here to sort of address some of the risks that come up with the different formats of investing. You know, we talked about the assignments and the options. The other couple, you know, ways that I've seen this being done more recently are purchasing property subject to being that they're buying it subject to the current owner's mortgage and not paying it off at closing, which biggest risk there is that there's usually due on sale clauses with their mortgages and the house could be foreclosed on. And again, you absolutely need to make sure that the seller understands that their mortgage isn't being paid off at closing. So again, complete transparency. And honestly, you should probably be getting authorization to speak to their lender too, because if you need to pay off the mortgage down the road and you can't get a hold of the seller, you know, there's not a whole lot you'll be able to do there. So in these situations where there are conflicts and risks that could arise, in addition to transparency, just to protect everyone involved, it's always a really great idea to have, you know, some kind of a hold harmless waiver or a conflict waiver, mm-hmm. laying out all the information that you're kind of worried about, making sure that everyone knows and is on board with, and having everybody sign off on that, just to have that really clear and neatly done up front.
Transparent. Contract. Amazing. That's true. That's very good. You know, I've never really been a big fan of of handling it that way without the mortgages and things being cleared. And in seller financing, you know, again, that has to be locked tight, because you don't want the seller to go out and get a mortgage on your property that you're financing with them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, those are definitely things to watch out for. And I'd say of all of these, seller financing is probably maybe the least risky, in that at closing, there would be a note and a deed of trust drafted with all the essential terms and recorded along with the deed.
Right.
That, you know, would essentially be the same as if you were using a larger financial institution. Although normally the way I see these are that they're short term, usually over maybe a 6 month or a 1 year period, at which point the balance would become due, because oftentimes they're flipping the house and just need some time to make the repairs.
Yeah. I've seller financed a lot before, over a couple year period, you know, and, you know, the stack of documents were very similar to what you would get with a bank, not quite as thick, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it had amortization schedules. It was a two-year, two-and-a-half-year note, something like that. Interest rate was set out. Terms were set out. It was recorded at the courthouse in a deed of trust. Everything was done the same way. I was just the bank. So that assurance, as I was sharing with you before, the buyer couldn't put additional liens out of it on it and me lose my position, and I couldn't put additional liens on it and lose their position.
Well, it's good you brought that up, because as I was talking about title insurance earlier and how important it is for buyers, in this case it would be just as important maybe for the seller, if they're doing seller financing, the same way that a financial institution would require a lender's title insurance policy.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just say, for example, that things go south and the property goes into the foreclosure process.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, you're purchasing a property that has been foreclosed on or in the foreclosure process at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Give a kind of a synopsis of what that looks like.
Yeah, so investors often look at the foreclosure market, you know, hoping to maybe get a better deal on a property that's distressed, because most conventional buyers are maybe going to shy away from this. And some of the, not necessarily risk, but maybe headache is a better word, if you're looking at purchasing foreclosures, is there's an upset bid period where even if you think that you've got it locked in, until you get out of that period, someone can come in and take it from you. And you don't really know what kind of deal you're going to get until it's all said and done and approved.
Yeah, it's in Mecklenburg County, I believe it's 5% is what your upset bid has to be. And you've got, there's a 10-day period. So you make a bid, and then there's 10 days that have to go by. And if somebody upsets it, they have to upset it for 5% more. And then another 10 days starts.
Theoretically, that could go on for quite some time.
It could, depending on where the initial bid is. So you know what I tell people? I tell people, don't be the first bidder. Let the bank make the first bid. But I also say, before you bid, have a title search done. Why would I do that, Josh? Because I know you know the answer, because you guys do them for me.
Well, a lot of times when a property's in foreclosure, it seems there might be higher risk that there's other issues going on. And
that's exactly right.
It's possible that that lien that is the subject of the foreclosure isn't the only one attached to that property.
That's right.
And the one that is going through the foreclosure process, they only care about getting paid what they're due. If it doesn't cover additional mortgages or liens against the property, that's not really any concern to them. And if you're paying only enough to satisfy that first mortgage and not anything else that's attached to it, you might be on the hook for that as well.
That's right. An HOA can foreclose.
Yeah.
You know, for their fees. And I've seen it done.
Yeah, so, they could theoretically do that over a $50 a month HOA payment.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So it's certainly important to do that. You know, in my hedge fund days, when we were buying houses on the courthouse steps, the other thing is you can't get in them. So you're buying something you can't get in. It's trespassing. So there are a lot of unknowns. So take everything you can off the table. The other thing I recommend people do is get what's called a CLUE report. Call their insurance company and see what kind of claims have been filed on that house. A CLUE report is like a credit report on a house. If it's had floods, if it's had the roof replaced, if it's had other issues, it's good to know those things prior to purchase, because it will affect your rates and it will affect your buying decision, right?
Like a Carfax.
Exactly. Break-ins, all kinds of things. It gives you really good information about the house. CLUE report is an awesome thing. I always say bring your insurance person in early too. All right? So is it worth it, Josh? Is it worth it to go outside of working with realtors and attorneys and trying to do this on your own?
It's hard to say, you know, a one-size-fits-all answer to for everyone, but I think, you know, generally speaking, you're going to want someone representing you. Even if you have a pretty good understanding of what you're doing, just from a liability standpoint, making sure all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, I mean, you're going to want someone who knows the ins and outs of what you're doing, is familiar with the way that you're doing it, and can make sure that you're not missing anything that might otherwise, impact the success of your investment or have greater liability.
Right. So how do they get you at Costner?
They can call me direct, 704-430-5378.
All right. Well, thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. You can reach us at 846-DONE, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamisonhomes.com. God bless. Have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you next week to show your real estate today. Take care.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.